Hello, and welcome to the final episode of Season 1 of The Leaders Playlist. You're with Renee Craven and David Clifford. Dave, welcome.
Renee, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
That's good.
Last podcast, hey?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey to get here. A fun journey.
It has been. 9 episodes. Some
wow.
Good insights. Oh,
some really cool guests. I really enjoyed all of our guests. We were lucky to get to speak to all of the people that we've spoken to. Learned a lot.
Definitely some really good takeaways from every conversation.
I thought we should start with a little bit of a history on this podcast, how we dreamt it up, where it came from, and then maybe we just chat through each of our guests, each of our topics, and then do a bit of a wrap up for the final episode of this season.
Doing the story of the podcast.
Yeah, the story of the podcast. Definitely. I like that. That's cool. All right.
What's your recollection of the story of the podcast, Renee?
My recollection, we had this idea to give a podcast a crack. There was a bit of a gap, I guess, in the podcast world on leadership. And we came up with the idea of having this podcast themed around authentic leadership. I'm not sure if anyone's picked it up, but each one of our topics for this podcast have come from the word authentic. If you spell the word authentic out, so for A, we asked ourselves, what is a behavior or a skill that an authentic leader needs to have or should have? And that's how we came up with the topic awareness. For you, example, is untapped. For our listeners, if you're wondering how we came up with the topics for this season of the podcast, then that's how we did it.
Well, it was a struggle. Some of them were very late with how authentic. We struggled on C, for example. There was coaching and curiosity. And I think it was until Stephen's podcast that when he mentioned courage as one of the attributes or traits that a leader should have, that we said, oh, courage. That's the one we're looking for. That's the missing piece of the puzzle.
I remember when we were talking to Stephen was when he said that I made the capital C shape with my hand to you during that recording. Like, yes, that's our C.
So yeah, my recollection of it when we were talking about it, we had a conversation. We were thinking of what we had in common and what were the gaps were, similar to what you said. And I think, again, it was coming out, it came to kind of reinforce it when we call the authentic leader when leadership playlist is when John was talking about that the shift from the traditional kind of style of leadership to this new thing, but no one seemed to have a word for it. It was empathic leadership. And then he mentioned authentic leadership. And I went, oh, all right, that's good. And then he mentioned a few others. And I was like, oh, so there's obviously not a definition for it because everyone's bringing something to it. And that's what I thought when we did the words associated with it, like A being awareness, T being trust, things like that. It's something that encapsulates all of it. It's not just being authentic. Being all of those things lets you be authentic leader. It lets you be an authentic leader. And of course, you know, you've got music in your background. You're learning to play the guitar as well through this podcast. So I think the music bit was a good tie-in. I think it challenged people to think about songs that would, how music affected them and how music can have an impact on others and how they can use it to reflect or to get themselves in the mood for something. What was your thoughts of why we called it the playlist?
Yeah, I think we didn't just want to be a normal everyday podcast. We wanted to, as you mentioned, yeah, music is a big part of my life and you listen to podcasts. So we wanted to be able to link that music to the podcasts in some way. So the best part of this podcast for me, the biggest surprise for me was how much music actually is used by people, used by our guests and used by our guests in their classrooms. And they had playlists that they listened to regularly and things like that. So I think that was the biggest surprise for me and the most refreshing was that music is a big part of everybody's lives.
Yeah, it did come true. I don't know. Do you want to recap on some of our takeaways from the guests that we've had?
Yeah.
So, right. So we'll go with the authentic approach. And start with A. So we had Sandra and she talked about awareness. What was your takeaway from that conversation?
My biggest takeaway from our conversation with Sandra was she said that becoming more self-aware for her was freeing. She felt the chains break away when she became more self-aware. I had some realizations during that conversation of, you know, just how self-aware I have become in the last 12, 18 months. From the decisions that I've made as well.
I liked the story that she had from that scary little girl becoming the woman that she is now, who runs all these workshops and transformational learning program. And yeah, Transforming, I think is the name of the company.
Yeah,
it was interesting that she had that. Yeah, my takeaway was what she said about the taking that time to reflect with yourself and understand what, and get some more self-awareness is an important skill. I don't think it's focused enough on and understanding where it triggers out. Just taking that 15 minutes every day to do that. So yeah, that was my takeaway from it. And our song reflected that kind of, as you said, shaking off the chains. Was it Kesha, This Is Me, from the Greatest Showman? Is that the movie?
Yeah.
So that's like a really powerful song. Yeah, that was just good. And then we went, what was next?
Untapped with Stephen.
Oh, the Irish episode.
Oh, God, yes. Bloody Irish episode. Stephen was definitely one of the more passionate people that we spoke to. I think at the time when we spoke to Stephen, I was going through some stuff. The things that he was saying really hit home to me at the time. And I really liked his water bottle analogy that he had. In order to learn something, you've got to let go of something. You've got to empty some water out of that bottle so that you can have space to learn something new. And it's something that's relatable to anybody, really.
Yes. He was definitely the most passionate, I would say, of our interviewees. Yes. And, you know, he was right. Like, he's obviously Barry O'Reilly, and it is Unlearn. He's the ambassador for that, I believe. And he was, that Unlearn, Relearning. For me, those three things that he had, he kind of came with that curiosity, courage and humility, which we had two of, which is not a bad sign. Two out of three ain't bad, as the song goes. But yeah, it was just like that. And then he recommended that book, which I'm always one for books, which I haven't read. But yeah, it was interesting that his focus, and he's very passionate about helping organizations. And they're still in the same mindset of beliefs and trying to shift that.
Yeah.
It's not an easy process.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of untapped potential that's just not being realized because people are still stuck in the maze, as you put it.
And then next up, we had teaching with Dan.
Dan, my neighbor.
Your neighbor, Dan, yes. What was your takeaway from Dan's conversation with Dan?
It made me very hungry because he kept talking about roast dinners and the smell. But apart from that, yeah, there's good takeaways. Like, again, he's very passionate about it. I don't think he realized during the podcast, he has a lot of passion about teaching and people that came across. And I was trying to think about when I was listening back to it, I was like, the P's, right? Because he was very passionate about what he was doing. And he was saying there's patience that you have to have. That's a sign of a good teacher and should be a sign of a good leader. Have patience with the people. There's the other P. He very much focused on the people that he was teaching or facilitating. And then I kept on going with it, you know, because three P's isn't enough. I got a fourth one. And when he was talking about it, the considering the big picture, right? He was in his teaching, you don't just focus on one thing, you're trying to consider as part of the bigger picture, which I thought was interesting. And then, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't find another P. He had an L. So it was, you know, listening without prejudice, listening without judgment, which is, again, all good things that I think a teacher should have. And definitely a leader should mirror those behaviors and traits. What was your takeaway from Dan?
When I'm in a training room, like we were talking about the music and being able to, we're using music in our classrooms or our workshop rooms or whatever to help with the mindset of the people that are in the room. And I liked his rule of playing music that'll offend everybody. I have tried and I've given up in playing that learning kind of music or that music to fill that void or fill the silence because it is really awkward. And yeah, I gave up because I could never, someone in the room would always complain. So it was just easier to not do it at all. I mean, I would do it for my games, like I said, the pizza game and things like that, but not just for other stuff. I'd just leave the silence. And it used to make me really uneasy having that silence. It just took me back to school when you're sitting there doing something and the teacher's walking around and you're hoping they don't come near you and look over your shoulder. Yeah, I really liked his play something that's going to offend everybody, and using that music helps with the uplifting the energy in the room, which helps with that learning mindset. I really liked that tip from Dan.
Yeah,
thanks, Dan.
Yes, well, thanks, Dan. I won't have to, now I think about it, like I've got to go and ask him, has he finished that book yet? H.
With Humble.
Humble.
With Lisa.
I have to say, that was the most uncomfortable podcast I've ever been on.
Yes.
And I think that's pretty much all conversations I've had with Lisa looking back, they've always not gone the way I thought they would and have brought me to a different place, a better place than I would have ended up with the original conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it worked. There was those different rooms, wasn't there, that you brought us to?
Yeah. So we went from self-deprecation to confidence. Oh, no, I think we started with confidence. Then we went self-deprecation. Then we went humility. Then we went arrogance. But yeah, it was definitely took me out of my comfort zone as well. And we do a bit of preparation for these podcasts with, you know, preparing our guests with the questions we might ask. But yeah, that plan went out the window from the very first question. Yeah. And my God, the courage of that woman to sing a song with no backing or anything. I love it. It was a very raw conversation from start to finish. Yeah, I think I loved it.
Well, I know you were saying about the music and other things. Very brave for the sing. The voice wasn't bad. I'm not like I've heard a lot worse.
It's beautiful.
Like, I could have sang, and that would have really thrown people off.
Bye-bye,
no, it was nice. I had a few feedback that they were very surprised and really enjoyed that part. But I thought then for me was strange is that even though we weren't physically in the same room, when we moved from those rooms within the quadrant, that you know, you got the arrogant kind of feeling was there. You could feel it. And when you move to humble, that kind of everything seemed to just, the space seemed to be just a lot lighter. I thought it was amazing. Just as a compound, how do you can facilitate something like that with three people in like three different time zones and two different countries. But and even like as a facilitator, you'll know as well, online facilitating is hard because you can't pick up on body language and everything else. But yet she was able to create a space that we could sense that there was, you know, we were moving from different spaces.
Yeah.
And they were completely different to what we were in the previous room.
Yeah, you're right. Even when we were recording that, we were still looking at each other and doing it. But listening back to it, it was just audio. And I still got that same sort of feeling when I was listening back to it as well.
It was surprisingly good for what happened, but it was the most awkward conversation I've ever had. Because it was really not, I think you were around the same thing. I don't like talking from that confidence and probably more self-deprecating personality. But yeah, it was good.
Then we had empathy with Angela. What was your takeaway from Angela's conversation?
Yeah, another very passionate person about what they do. Really seen it come true. She built a connection, I think, just straight away. And you said that when you were on that course, that ORSC training with her. There was a lot of talk about the burnout at the moment between leaders. But from what my takeaway, well, there's two things. The one was a slow down.
Yeah.
And, you know, just trying to pick up those emotions from other people, because if you're going too fast, you can't get them. And then she had the L's, didn't she? She had, what were they again?
Listen, loop, and link.
The listen, loop, link. That's right. Yeah. And that was really cool. How that's the tool that you could use. Because then she put that into that breathing, that exercise as well. So that's how to slow down. So that's my main takeaway. She was very passionate about that. You could see she was an empathic person. So it was authentic, right? There was no pretending to be something that she wasn't. She definitely was a genuine care for people. And that's what her vocation in life, that's what she chose to do as a career. What was your takeaway from the conversation with Angela?
Very similar, actually. I remember the breathing part, mainly because as I shared in the podcast, it's the very first thing I do when I start my Pilates classes as well. It's the only thing that I find that gets people in that frame of mind, or just to be able to get them to slow down, and definitely slows them down. So then we had Gatik for networking.
Yes. Again, passionate.
Yes. Very passionate. Very passionate. And I thought it was interesting because the topic was networking, but it quickly moved into storytelling. And when we were recording it, I remember feeling a little bit uncomfortable going, hang on, how are we going to hook this back to networking? I think we Gaddick did a good job of helping myself anyway, link that storytelling and being able to tell stories and being able to build your networks as a result of being able to tell those stories and build connections with people. As I shared, that whole networking part of it, just if I think of networking on its own, that makes me super, super uncomfortable to, like, I would avoid doing it if I could. Whereas now I think about it slightly differently.
Yeah, you definitely reframed that network. I think it has a negative connotation where, you know, it's just people standing around a room, having drinks, eating canapes, whatever. Just business, business, business. I think here's more, that's why he says the storytelling is, You paraphrased, was it Helen Keller or something? We said, yeah, you have to reach out, you can't do it on your own. Mm. But to bring people along, you have to get some buy-in from them, you have to inspire them, you have to influence them. And being able to give a story that resonates with people is part of that. And being able to meet them at different levels. I really like the story of his father, the mechanic. And then I listened to his TED talk where he talked about, you know, the difference between that and then being at a very posh, lavish dinner and how the father could be comfortable being himself but meeting people at different levels and going to them. And I thought it was really good. Yeah, and it was good that I said he didn't come across as being, when you're networking, I'm going to use the name, but being too transactional. Because then if you're too transactional, you're not really being authentic, right? Because you're looking at the person as, I'm going to say this word, which I hate, a resource that you can use for a amount of time and then you can throw away. But I think if real long-lasting relationships and networks, social networks, rely on your ability to be authentic with people and build that trust, which is a good segue.
It is a good segue to our next topic, trust. The last episode that we released with John, what were your takeaways from that conversation?
I was a bit jealous of the rum and motorcycle and chasing iguanas. You know, still a bit gobsmacked by that for the first
time. And no legal drinking age.
No legal drinking age. I thought that's interesting. That's a way to be raised. I felt like I just had such a boring childhood after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the exercise I thought was interesting when you're going to write down or put down the initials or whatever of people that you don't trust and then why don't you trust them? And then you kind of switched it to say, trust is kind of an emotion between two people, right? And if you don't trust them, how are they ever going to trust you? And at a moment like that, Jesus, you know, I might have a point there, you know? So it is interesting. And like, I've reflected on it, basically like those names I put down. Like, yeah. When I think about it, I said that I wouldn't have my name down. I'm probably thinking now, as time went on, he's probably right. They wouldn't have. They'd have my name down there. I'd say as a person they wouldn't trust for whatever reason. It had a different slant on it because I would see myself as trustworthy. What was your takeaway from it?
I liked the way that he explained leaders trusting their people and the delivery or the outcomes of people, whether it's a team delivering something or whatever, but the delivery or the outcomes is a direct reflection of the level of trust that a leader has in their people. And when he said that, I immediately thought of leaders, I'm using quotes there, where teams aren't delivering and the teams are the ones that are under pressure. They're the ones that are getting the blame for not delivering. Yeah, it really highlighted when he said there's that direct, and it's not something that he made up either. It's from that survey, which I can't remember what the survey was called now. The data is there in those survey results. It made me definitely think of a few leaders differently and how I could better support them next time I'm working with them.
Yeah, it was interesting. I took two, and again, when I was just talking there, there was two things around that, you know, I found surprising that people trust corporations more now than they did before. I still haven't looked at that survey. It's on my to-do list. And the other thing was that by thinking that kind of little you know, oh, did you hear what thing did, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, kind of trying to build trust with someone by telling us someone else's story is actually, you know, it's not the right way, right? It actually gives the opposite effect. You kind of, people go, oh, I don't really, that person's probably going to go and tell my confidence to the next person they want to try and make friends with or build trust with, which I thought was another, like, a surprising way to look at trust.
Edelman survey is what that one's called. Yeah.
There was a couple that mentioned that Fearless organization that by Amy Edmondson. But it's funny, as we're talking about, and we're going through these points, I think we have a pretty much a real time example of what's going on. We talk about trust. I think you look at Ukraine and you look at the leader, when you look at Putin, we have, I think there's an image where Putin's talking to his generals. And I go, I don't know if it's for COVID or something, but like he's sitting at one end of the table and they're like a mile away. Like, I don't even know how to hear each other. What are the microphones? Yeah. And then you have the Ukrainian leader, I can't remember his name, good reason for that, because I probably won't be able to pronounce it properly. But he's like, he's staying, he's in there with his people. He's not running away. He's not going to Hawaii or anything like that. But he's staying right in the middle with his people. And he was asked, they tried to get him out. The Americans are worried that he, and he said, no, I'm staying. Like, it's amazing. And in these events, you see just two halves of leadership. Old style versus kind of new style, I'd say.
Definitely.
And COVID brought that as well.
Yeah. I'm still of the leader manager camp. You're a leader or you're a manager. You're telling people what to do, when to do it, or you're a leader and you're just letting people figure out, give them a goal, something to work towards, and they're figuring it out on their own.
Yeah. It's always been, it's a topic, isn't it? That people kind of get them confused. But you are right. Like a good leader can be a manager, but I don't think a good manager can be a leader, if that makes sense.
Then we had I, Inquisitive, with Eric, who was our very first release and our very first person that we spoke to.
So we were a bit rough and ready in that one. It was just that the kind of stabilizers were on the training wheels.
Yeah.
Trying to get it working, kind of getting the editing, getting back into it.
Yeah, so shout out to Eric for being our
Guinea pig,
yeah. It's going to say crash test dummy, but guinea pig's a bit nicer.
Guinea pig's
I guess.
A bit nicer.
It was another surprising one for me, because I've known Eric for a couple of years as well. And every time I speak to him, I learn something else about him. Like that conversation, he's been a teacher, and you know, it's just some of the things that he said. I'm like, oh my, and the music, and where he went to the opera, and oh, man, I'm like, oh my God.
I did not see that musical choice coming.
No. He's just a surprise. One of the tips that he gave us from as a new leader, what advice would you give them? And he said, just to understand the story behind the story.
Yeah, asking the question why, and having that kind of curious mindset. But that, look for the story behind the story is my takeaways. And, you know, using maybe a technique like the five whys to get behind it. But it's so easy to look for the simple solution because of pressure and time. And I think to be inquisitive has to have some space. So yeah. It's similar with being empathic. You can't be empathic to people if you're rushing by them give a quick call. You have to take time to listen and understand them. So yeah, I think that was listen to the story behind the story, which is good advice for whatever you're doing. Because we always jump into situations or half hear things, conversations, and we immediately go to that solution mode, you know, personal life and maybe in business and business as well, definitely, which can also have detrimental effect to relationships. Finally, we got to see, after 8 episodes, a little more polished. We had Stu, another person you know well.
Yeah.
So what was the what was your takeaway from that? Was any surprises with you, like with Eric, on about Stu? Did anything pop up?
The reason I asked Stu to be a guest for Courage was that of some of the things that I saw him do in one of the organizations I was working for. And he seemed to be the person that was always thrown the more challenging things to do, or the, you know, you had to bring people along for the journey. And he was always cool, calm, and composed. He always did a nice, neat job of it. And, you know, I learned a lot from him and the way that he approached situations when I was working with him. What was your takeaway from that conversation?
I had a couple. I'm still trying to process one or two of them. Again, whatever. It's not courage if you don't feel fear, right? That's, we can't say. If it's easy, then it's not courageous to do, right? I think that came across. But, you know, being your authentic self, back to the main authentic, the title is, it's hard. It's hard to be like that in organizations. And again, with Stu, came across that he's passionate about helping people and he'll try and do that. But he's clever and I did like his courage capital is he doesn't try to fight every fight. He kind of picks his battles where he can potentially have the most impact and not burn himself out. Yeah, I like that. It resonated with me. I kind of practice a little bit out of myself. I just pick my battles. You can't fight everything. It's impossible. He did link being courageous to risk, and this is what is courage capital. But being courageous comes risk. The greater the risk, the bigger the reward. And when he said, I think it was what, the more higher up you are, the more authentic you can be. I thought, at the time, I was just saying, this isn't right. Because it was a thought-provoking kind of thing to say. Like, I know people, I think you can be more authentic when you're small. You're at the lower scale because no one really cares. Yeah, things get rid of you and you can leave and you can say what you want. But when you're on the big six figures and there's a lot of people looking to you, it's going to be very courageous to stand up and go against the people, maybe the board of directors or space. This is not the direction to go. Now, there is a lot of, this woman says there's a lot. There's a couple of maverick leaders over like that. Steve Jobs, anything, something like that. But I don't think there's many. That's what I said. I'd love to investigate some sort of diagnostic tool to actually see if that's actually true.
I think when you're in a team and you're working with your teammates, you can be, I agree, very authentic. I think when Stu was talking about the higher you go, the more authentic you can be, I was more imagining it from a courage point of view. So someone in a team going to their manager is not going to be 100% authentic with that manager. They're going to be guarded because they want to keep their job or they've got some sort of fear, whatever it is. And then, those managers going up to the next level, they want to be seen to be able, they're competent at doing their job. They don't want to be seen to be incompetent. But when you get to that top level, I don't know, the conversations I've seen at that top level, they're very, very authentic conversations. So yeah, I think maybe Stu was referring to more, it would have been good to unpack that a lot more because he has exposure at all those different levels. So he's coming from a completely different perspective than what our experiences have been. Yeah. And again, he's also come from working for the big four banks and stuff, and the inner workings of banks are quite different to other types of organizations as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely one I would love to unpack a bit more, get an understanding of. Yeah. Again, I've got my own biases against leadership, so maybe just a little bit of that there. So Renee, give it is the Leaders Playlist, and we are talking about being authentic. What is your go-to song that you use to, if you want to feel authentic or resonates you something about it that's authentic?
So I don't have a song. I have an artist.
An artist.
Keith Urban, always.
Never heard of him.
He always does that for me. So, like I said, everyone who knows me knows I'm a huge Keith Urban fan, and it's currently 274 days till I see him again in concert because it got postponed last year. It was very sad. Not so much his new stuff, more his older stuff when he was a little bit more country. I think the countryness of his songs helps get me back to where I came from. I've been to many, many, many Keith Urban concerts, and I think he is the only performer, only person I've seen that many times in concert, and it's the only concert where I completely let go and do not care one iota of what people around me think about me. And I dance the whole time. I don't care if I'm pissing off people around me. Except if it's my mother. Shout out to my mother. When we saw him in Sydney, she told me to move to the side because I was annoying people dancing in my chair. It's the only concert where, to the point where, like, when he is here at the end of the year, touch wood, hopefully, I'm going to both concerts and I'm going to the second one on my own just to have that time to
dance.
Dance to Keith. It's just me and Keith.
All right, you and Keith. You can't add all these songs to the playlist, by the way. You gotta keep them there too.
All right, what's yours, Dave? What's yours? The song that you go to when you're trying to be your authentic self?
bit of Phil Collins actually in the air tonight. It's just the story behind it, you know. The I was there and I seen what you did, you know, all that kind of place talking about that course, and, you know, saw my own two eyes, and you can wipe that grin off and know where you've been. It's all been kind of a pack of lies. I think that's what to me is like really resonates with me about being authentic. Like, yeah, you can't talk, you can't, I'm going to put it this way, you have to walk the talk, right? You can't pretend to be something and your words and actions don't align. And I think that's, to me, is the true sign of an authentic leader. When those things are aligned and in balance, you can't be questioned. If you go from working from your principles and your values, then you make decisions that way and you talk to people that way, then it's hard not to call you, say that you're not being authentic. So that's that. So do you, fast five.
What book are you reading at the moment, Dave?
I'm actually reading one called Training from the Back of the Room from Sharon L. Bowen. Rereading it actually because I'm looking at some tools and techniques and a bit of understanding of adult development to help with a course on designing. You?
We have just finished reading How to Begin by Michael Bungay Stanier. I don't know how to say his last name, Australian guy. Yeah, but I'm also reading A Woman's Guide to Power Unbound. I'm really sorry, I'm saying this wrong. Cassia Urbaniak. And I'm also reading Atlas of the Heart by Brené. It's Brené Brown's new book.
Okay.
Which is a very different coffee table kind of book that you can put down and pick up and use forever.
Favorite smell?
I've got two. The smell of freshly cut grass. And my second one is when rain starts to fall, when you get that first, you get that smell of the rain, or you can smell rain coming. What's your favorite smell?
A nice aged Shiraz. Just the smell of that in the glass. It's been poured in our room and it starts to aerate.
Yeah.
That's going to be our favorite. Your favorite toy as a kid?
I had this doll that had frizzy hair, and she was cool because she had a pull string at the back and her arm would wave. So that was my favorite toy until my brother was born and pulled her arm off and it never went back on. What's your favorite toy?
It was probably my bike, being able to go, a bit of freedom, disappear for the day, go on adventures. So yeah.
What TV show are you binging at the moment?
It's Billions. It's probably what I'm binging at the moment. And you?
I am binging Jane the Virgin. It finished years ago and I'm pretty late to the party, but final fast five question. The end of the world is coming. What's the last thing you do?
I would say it's probably spending with family, cracking open, raiding my cellar and getting as many of those reds I can get in before the end of the world happens. Just spending the time. And you, what's the last thing you do?
Very similar. Cracking open the most expensive bottle I have in my cellar at the time. Having some nice cheese and listening to music really, really loud so that the walls and the windows rattle.
Well, I think that's a wrap, isn't it?
I want to say thank you to all of our listeners, and hopefully we've accrued some regulars that, you know, hang out for the next episode of the Leaders Playlist with Renee and Dave. Thank you, Dave. It's been good.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Let's thank all our guests that we had on the show over the last month. And thanks for all the insights. Can't wait to do another one. Season 2 coming soon.